Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy for today's All Sides Weekend, and I can't promise you Bette Davis as a guest on the show today. No one's that good, not even me. However, tonight, Kappa's summer movie series at the Ohio Theater begins with Bette Davis starring in All About Eve. And if we can't have Bette Davis, we can at least have Kathy Carnap, yes, who is the director of marketing for Kappa, the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts, and Rich Corsi, who is the vice president of Kappa's programming. And today, we're going to talk all about summer movies and Picnic with the Pops and the Columbus Symphony out on the Commons and all things summer with Kappa. Later in the broadcast, we'll hear from Philip Hickman, who is the artistic director of Actors Theater in Schiller Park. He'll tell us about the summer series of free performances out there. And we'll have an interview with author Dan Shaun, who is speaking at the Columbus Library on Father's Day this Sunday at 2 o'clock. So, phew, without further ado, Kathy Carnap, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're a very busy lady. All your colleagues at Kappa are pausing to take a breath, maybe. So what happens tonight in the Ohio Theater?
Well, what happens tonight
in the Ohio Theater?
Yeah, I'll let Rich take that.
Yeah, because Kathy's got the symphony stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we've got the 47th season of our Kappa Summer Movies kicking off tonight at the Ohio Theater at 7:30 p.m., and people are going crazy for it. So,
how long have you been doing this?
This is our 47th year of doing the movies. I've been at Kappa since 1990, so I'm going on 27 years.
The Ohio Theater, I believe, was built for the movies.
Yes, back in 1928, and we still have the original Mighty Morton organ that was in the
theater.
That's
part of the show. That's
right.
It rises out of the floor. It's a big part of the show. It gets more applause sometimes in the movies, no disrespect intended.
No, it's very, very magical. And it's funny because, you know, the movies are at 7:30. We'll have people that are out there an hour prior waiting to get in just to be there to see Clark come out of the floor. It's awesome.
Now, you do classics. You do silent films, which is great, with the organ accompanying it. You do horror movies. You do more recent pictures. How do you, Rich Corsi, director of programming, program the summer movies?
Well, there's myself and a gentleman named Lance Carwile, who's been a part of the Kappa Summer Movies for about 20 years now, and he's our big movie history guru. Lance has a lot of connects with the movie studio. So we start back like in November. This actually takes like about 3 months, 3.5 months to put this together because we're trying to compile everything. We get so many requests from people. And the unique thing about this series is we listen to the public. I'm not buying a ticket to it. The public are. So we really listen to what the public want to see. And we try to mix it up so we can have a little bit of something for everyone.
This weekend, beginning tonight at 7:30, All About Eve from 1950, Warner Brothers, Bette Davis, George Sanders, and Ann Baxter. You have Leave It to Heaven. You have Jailhouse Rock with Elvis.
40th anniversary, so yeah.
Is this not Elvis's debut, is it?
We had Elvis a few years ago, and, you know, this is one of those. It's funny, I just took my mom, my brother, and I down to Memphis and did Graceland last week, so I'm fired up for next weekend.
Good. And a beautiful film that I don't think is seen enough. I don't know if this is the first time, but it's one of my favorites, Leave It to Heaven.
Yeah,
Gene Tierney, and yeah.
We showed that years ago, and one of the things Lance and I do is we try to make sure the really good films, we try to get them on like a 6 to 7 year rotation. We have not shown this film for like 20 years, and when we showed it last, it was huge. I mean, people went nuts for it, and we had very, very good attendance.
I should say there's a lot in between to look forward to between tonight and the summer finale, which is August 5th and 6th, and you're showing on that weekend Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers in Shall We Dance. So you are covering a lot of bases with the summer movies here.
Yeah, and we try to, you know, a few years ago, 6, 7 years ago, we tried mixing it up a little bit. And we've got some special things that we do throughout the summer just to kind of have a little bit of fun with it and, you know, get people excited to come out to the movies.
Is there a ticket deal?
Yeah, tickets are only $5. They're general admission tickets. Seniors are $4. But if you buy a strip of 10 tickets, you can get that for $30. So that's $3 a ticket.
$3 to sit in the Ohio Theater on a big screen. A lot of these movies have not been seen by people on a big screen.
Yeah, I mean,
they're DVDs, but they're not.
Yeah, and the unique thing about our series is we've been doing it for 47 years. So we think we've shown every single movie, but this year we've got 10 series premieres. We even have a Hitchcock premiere.
That's Suspicion?
I Confess.
I Confess.
Yeah, and we've never shown that. We've got a Bogart Bacall, Dark Passage. We've never shown that film. I mean, Lance and I are always amazed when we come up with these series premieres that we haven't shown them.
Do you sit and watch the films yourself before they – do you do some homework?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we go through and find out, you know, try to pick some popular films that people are coming to, because you don't want to show a film when there's 50 people there.
Yeah, but that's not going to be possible for this program. You're going to have full houses.
And we've gotten lucky on a couple. I mean, we did Princess Bride a couple years ago, and I think we had 2,300 people. Yeah. And it only seats 2,700, so we were asking people to move over. It was packed.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Here's a little more sound. We're going to talk about also the premiere this weekend, A Picnic with the Pops. Now, Bette Davis will be in the Ohio Theater on film this weekend. Prince, alas, won't be able to play in the Commons. I'm sure he would if you had asked him. But you are beginning a Prince tribute with Picnic with the Pops this weekend. Kathy Carnap, you were Director of Marketing at Kappa. Go.
Well, yeah, that is true. And since we just listened to Purple Rain, I'm going to be wearing purple. I know Rich is going to be wearing purple, so everybody needs to wear purple. yes, we have a symphonic tribute to the music of Prince. I think it's going to be fantastic. Sales are huge for this show. A lot of interest. The band is some of the members of the New Power Generation, which was Prince's band.
That's his band, yeah.
So some of the members of this band are coming, and so we're really super excited to be doing this.
It'll be very authentic then.
It will be. And I don't think that the singer, and Rich, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the singer is there to act like Prince. It is really going to be about the music.
Right.
And he's a fantastic singer. So it will really be more about the music.
I'm not sure how many years the Picnic with the Pops has been downtown now at the Commons. I know it was a Chemical Abstract for years. The move downtown, the Columbus Commons were very important to, may he rest in peace, Bill Connor.
Yes.
Kappa's longtime president who passed away last year. So how is that working out for you? How is that space working out?
This is our sixth year, and I mean, we are thrilled with that space. Yeah. Everything, you know, for us is right there, right by the Ohio Theater, where we're all kind of housed, and all of our equipment and everything is housed. So it's much easier for us. We think that the parking is very easy in and out. The space is beautiful. Being under the downtown lights is fantastic. It just has a very good vibe to it. The stage is wonderful, lighting. I mean, just everything about it we love. And we think the patrons do too, because sales in the past 6 years have just continually grown.
I think that space has done a lot, has been a big contributor to the revitalization of downtown. Downtown is now a destination after dark, which even 10 years ago it was not.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else do you got coming in Picnic with the Pops? The Prince tribute is it tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Gates open at 6. The show starts at 8 o'clock.
Can you get tickets at the gate?
You can get tickets at the gate. Tickets are $25 for the lawn and $10 for kids 12 and under. And table seats start at $40.
And you're encouraged to bring picnics, is that right?
Absolutely. You can bring your own food and beverages, including alcohol. It's just a great fun time, and you can buy alcohol and food on the premises.
Okay. So you have the Prince tribute. I know the Columbus Symphony is making a debut. The Best Damn Band in the Land, of course, will be back. The Harmony Project is coming this year.
That is correct. This will be new for us, Patriotic Pops, on July 1st. The Harmony Project will be singing with the orchestra, and I believe it's a huge number in their chorus. And we're building out the stage to accommodate that, so we're really excited about that. And there's fireworks at the end. It's a great tradition. Great show.
If folks don't know about the Harmony Project, and most people do, it's a huge all-volunteer chorus, and membership in the chorus requires that you do community outreach volunteer work as well. So it's a wonderful way to spend some time if you love to sing and you want to be in the community. Mm-hmm. It is the brainchild of the wonderful David Brown, and that's a natural fit for Kappa to be teaming up with the Harmony Project.
Yeah, we think so.
That's terrific as well. Here's a little more music. I I'm delighted that the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Chorus will be back with Picnic with the Pops. They will be on June 23rd. Rosa Milanov will conduct a complete performance of music we just heard, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. They haven't been there for a couple of years, I don't think, the symphony. They years and years ago, maybe before your time, before you were born when I was running around, they had been. But I think it's been a while. I may be wrong.
Well, the Columbus Symphony is playing with the Chorus this year and doing Beethoven's Ninth, which is new. It will be straight through without an intermission. Yeah. The Chorus has never actually done Picnic with the Pops with the Symphony.
Really? How
this
terrific.
Is the first
Wonderful.
Time. So, yeah, it's over 100 in the Chorus. So we're so excited about that and that Rossin is coming to conduct. It's going to be, I think, incredible.
He's a natural for that setting because he's so personable. I mean, he just kind of his personality kind of leaps off the stage.
And it's the first time we've had a CSO conductor out at Picnic because we always have guest conductors.
That's right.
Rossin has been great in coming in next weekend, so we're very excited about that.
Did it take some doing to get logistically with the Chorus? That's a large Chorus, and so you have a lot of people on stage. Is that going to be a challenge for you all?
No, I mean, we have Bill Lutz, who's been with the symphony awesome, and he works. And I will give a shout out to the folks with the CDDC at the park because they are such an incredible team to work with, and these productions would not happen without the help of them and their assistants. So they've been great. So nothing's ever difficult for us. A lot of conversation, but we always get it done.
Mm-hmm. For folks listening who might not know, I keep throwing around the term CAPA or the Columbus Association of Performing Arts, which is hard to say. CAPA is easier. And I know what CAPA is, but really, Kathy Carnap, what is CAPA?
Well, CAPA is the Columbus Association for the Performing Arts. It is a presenting company, as well as they do shared services for many arts organizations here in Columbus, including the Columbus Symphony, Opera Columbus, CATCO, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and we do all kinds of outsourcing with ticketing. Some people do ticketing with us. Some people do finance. Some people do HR. So we're a one-stop shop where, you know, if you are interested in having us do some of these things that are difficult to do for other organizations, we're there to help.
CAPA also owns the Ohio and the Palace Theaters. Is that right?
And the Southern.
And the Southern. CAPA renovated the Southern. CAPA brought the Southern back almost 20 years ago now.
Right? Yeah.
I believe we're going. You're also in the Rife Center. You're also in New Albany at the McCoy Center. Center out there. You're also at the Drexel. What are you doing at the Drexel in Bexley?
The Drexel, we just took over services over there. Kevin Roush, who's our manager on site, is unbelievable. And we work very well with Friends of the Drexel, their board. And, you know, we went in, we did Todd Bemis, all the restoration we do on all of our projects, went in, and it's a completely different world over there when you go over there now. And we've got the Lincoln too, over on Long Street.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. Kathy Carnap, I know that you are in charge of a staff that sells tickets, that puts butts in seats. That's the job there of marketing and making sure the community awareness is high. But Rich Corsi, are you the one or part of the team that decides what is coming to town, who and what are coming to town?
Yeah, I pretty much deal with everything. Chad Whittington, who's our CEO at CAPA, we've got a relationship with Broadway Across America. So the
just
Broadway stuff,
beautiful. The Carole King musical was there. Yeah,
yeah, and we announced.
The earth, move
yeah.
on to, yeah.
And we've announced next season, and people are just loving it. And so Chad works with Broadway Across America, New York, our partners on the Broadway, but everything else I book and program.
You book and program the outside things, but I don't think you don't tell people what to perform like the Columbus Symphony or the opera. You don't dictate the artistic team.
No, we're hiring commercial acts that come in with the programs that they want to play.
Tell me about Broadway in Columbus. How many shows do they bring in? What kind of shows are we looking forward to next season?
Well, we've got 8 shows coming up next season, and it's great. We've got Phantom coming back, which is great.
There won't be an empty seat.
No, and it's amazing, you know, when you think of those shows like Phantom, it's incredible because people forget that when they come into town and they sit down for a couple of weeks, what it does for the economy of Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
I mean, it just brings so many people in. Restaurants are busy. Bars are busy. It's insane.
Yeah, they must love you.
I mean, downtown looks different than it used to a few years ago.
It certainly does. And people are moving down there now. People are – and they're putting up new residences, and are really bringing –
And it's been interesting since you mentioned the Commons earlier when we were talking. When we went out there that first year, it was nothing but grass.
Right.
And
then
they put up the, you know, the residential stuff up on High Street, and now in that corner on Rich and 3rd, they're putting up the last building. So once that last building is done, It's awesome.
You formed a quad.
Yeah.
A quad with beautiful, like central, like mini Central Park with a space in between.
And it's interesting. Kathy mentioned earlier just about the way the sales have progressed with Picnic. You know, the first year out there, anytime you're out somewhere for the first time, it's hard. And that move from Chemical Abstracts, it had been out there forever.
Right.
You know, so the first year,
there's always people who are going to be a little bit PO'd about change.
Get over it because
it's beautiful.
And they were a little reluctant at first, but it's amazing. Once you have one good experience, it just snowballs. And I mean, we have so many people that come out every week, and they may not even know the music. They want to be a part of it.
And wherever you go, you have to park. And parking could be a problem with Chemical Abstracts, and it's a challenge everywhere. But it's not bad downtown. There are plenty of places to park. Garages.
It's across the street. It's very easy to bring in your coolers.
Right. It's certainly no harder than anywhere else you can go.
But it's actually easy.
I recently had a significant birthday, and my wife took me to Chicago to see Hamilton, which was an incredible experience. So new Hamilton maybe someday?
Yeah. We announced at our Broadway announced, not this season. This is the 17-18 season. The 18-19 season, Hamilton will be a part of it.
It's going to be coming. It's worth waiting for. That's a fantastic show.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about that is, you know, naturally people are going to be excited to get Hamilton tickets. But the cool thing is a lot more people are subscribing this year. And that'll guarantee them tickets for Hamilton.
And you'll want that guarantee because that's going to go clean real fast. Yeah, I mean, it was hard to get tickets in Chicago. I had to wait. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bonus is, you know, you buy that season now, the shows will be great. People will love it, and they'll get accustomed to it, and then it'll just roll into the 18-19 series. So
I want to switch gears a bit and go back to the summer movies because they're exciting. Everything's starting this weekend between Picnic with the Pops, with the music of Prince, the symphonic tribute, and Kappa's opening tonight, the summer movies at the Ohio Theater. Here's another one.
Belly up to the bar, boys. Better loosen your belts. Only drink when you're all alone or with somebody else. Yeah. Belly up to the bar, boys. Better have a few more. I never whirl with a three-toed girl or a discontented
horrible example.
Like the girl whose name was Carrie.
The late Debbie Reynolds as the unsinkable Molly Brown. That might have been the last great Hollywood musical, big Hollywood musical that was really a book show, and you are bringing it back to the Ohio Theater.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the musicals. We always try to, you know, get those in, and we usually put them on weekends because families love coming to those.
Right.
They're just so much fun, and whether you're a 5-year-old kid or an 80-year-old man, you love watching these films, so.
Well, I'm an 80-year-old man, and I'll get up and dance to that. That's a lot of fun, that show. And Three Dog Night is coming back Picnic with the Pops. What else is coming with Pops? I'm not letting you talk.
Oh, that's okay. We have a Beethoven v. Coldplay. So it is Stephen Hackman coming back in to conduct the mashup of Beethoven and Coldplay like he did earlier in our season indoors. He did Brahms v. Radiohead.
That was a lot
sellout.
Of fun. I enjoyed that.
Really,
I expected to be really snobby about it, but I had a great time.
So that's next Saturday night, and then of course with Patriotic Pops we already talked about, and we're doing Remember When Rock Was Young, so that is a tribute to Elton John music, and this guy is incredible. You can look him up on YouTube. He looks, acts, sings, everything just like Elton John, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we are bringing Common in for a symphonic night of hip-hop with the rapper Common. So he's a rapper, a poet, an actor. He's a very prolific person, so we're really excited to have him here.
And one of the great things about the Commons is you can get up and dance.
Yeah,
and I'll bet people do. I mean, you can get up and move around.
There's a lot of dancing going on.
You may kick over somebody's wine, but too bad about you. It's good to get up and dance. So what else do we have to look forward to coming from Kappa? There's so much that you all do. Are there any highlights you want to talk about between Pops or movies or anything else?
Well, the Columbus Symphony is starting a new summer night music series.
Yes, talk about that. Yeah.
So the first one is a summer serenade, and that is at the McConnell Arts Center up in Worthington.
Right, beautiful space.
Yeah, so tickets are on sale for that, and we're doing some Mozart and Stravinsky. A little night music, so that's going to be at the Southern Theater. And then we have Rawson's going to conduct Mozart with Orlai Alonso.
Orlai is my boy.
Piano.
He and I do a show here on Musica Cubana. Yes,
there you go.
That's going to be fun.
He's going to be playing. So those tickets are on sale, and that is new for us. We're really excited about
Orlai
that.
And Ross, and that's going to be very interesting.
That'll be a fun night.
That's going to be a lot of love and a lot of fireworks. That's going to be very, very interesting. I look forward to that. I want to give a little more sound, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with the good folks at Kappa. The website is kappa.com.
It is picnicwiththepops.com for the Columbus Symphony and Picnic with the Pops.
And for the movies, will Kappa.com do it?
Yeah, Kappa.com will get you everything. And if you ever have any questions and don't want to go on the website, just give us a call.
Okay. A lot of great, helpful people there. Here.
When I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
I see a man in your life.
What, only one?
I changed my mind.
Yeah, does it work any better? Well, I'm caught between two evils. I generally like to take the one I never tried.
The inimitable Mae West, who played the Ohio Theater, I'm sure. I know she played the Palace. I wasn't there. It was like 1951. But she signed the wall back there. But you are bringing one of her movies to the a miniseries called Camps and Vamps. Whose idea was that?
Oh, that was Lance.
That sounds great.
Lance loves it. We showed Cobra Woman a few years ago, and it was awesome. And like I mentioned earlier, we do a couple of these fun things. And Fritz the Night Owl is another one. We've got a Fright Night Friday with Fritz the Night Owl on July 7th, where Fritz is there in person.
Fritz is the best,
One of the most wonderful human beings I've ever met.
He stays young, too, doesn't he?
82.
I'm sure he looks.
We had an interview at the Ohio Theater today. He just jumped up on the stage to get a picture at 82. I was like, oh.
What's he going to be doing? What's he going to be showing?
We're going to be showing Night Owl Theater, which is his product that he has that's around town, and it's Fritz will be there an hour prior to the show talking to folks, and then throughout the movie, you'll be watching the movie as though you did back in the 70s.
You also have Shadow of the Thin Man with William Powell and Myrna Loy. If you love old movies, this is really this whole series is fantastic. That's a series premiere. That's July 6th.
Yep.
That's just before Fritz. Fritz is going to be showing The Shining, as you said. Indiana Jones is coming back.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That'll be big.
Flamingo Road with Joan Crawford, Charade with Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn. This is a real feast for anyone who loves movies. I think you should get a strip of tickets and just show up any given night, because you certainly won't be disappointed. Kappa does all this good work. You are the programmers and landlords of all the downtown theaters. You are making possible the work of Opera Columbus and all the theater companies. And any idea of some of the attractions you're going to be bringing us in the coming?
We've got a lot of stuff. Used to be back in when I started at Kappa, there weren't tons of stuff going on. And then Doug was there, Naturally Kreidler.
Oh my God, he made everything
happen.
And
then Bill stepped in, and now we're just busy 12 months a year. We've got the Picnic and the movies. We've got Festival Latino that we produce coming up in August.
What is that? Talk about that a little.
That's August 12th and 13th this summer down at Genoa Park. We're back in Genoa. And if you haven't been down there, we originally started there, moved out because of the construction and the draining of the river. It is gorgeous. So we're moving back in there, free Latin festival that we produce. And then we're rolling into the winter. We've got John Cleese from Monty Python coming in September 30th. He shows Holy Grail and has a Q&A. We've got Alton Brown coming, David Sedaris. It's nonstop. It's 12 months a year.
One of the wonderful things that you had in October was the Abbey Theater of Dublin came in, which was a co-production with Catco, I believe. I think it was Catco. It was in the summer in the Southern Theater.
Yeah, we did Plowing the Stars.
Plowing the Stars, which was a great evening. Then talk about authentic. That was as great as it got.
Yeah, it was incredible. And that was one of Bill's big passions.
Right.
And we'll continue work. Chad's already been over to London and checking out some new stuff that we'll be bringing over. So it's fun. You never know what's going to come up in the course of our days between the symphony and Kappa. It's awesome.
And Kathy Carnap, if you remind everybody about getting tickets for Picnic with the Pops and maybe give a rundown again of the dates and the attractions for
us
so we understand.
Starts this Saturday, ends July 28th and 29th with the OSU Marching Band. And you can get tickets at picnicwiththepops.com, or you can go to the Kappa Ticket Center at 39 East State Street, or you can go to Ticketmaster. You can also get tickets at the gate night of the show. The doors open at 6. You can bring in your own food and beverage. Show starts at 8. Tickets are $25 for the lawn, $40 and up for table seats, and $10 for children.
Music of Prince, some fine tribute to Prince is this weekend.
Yep, Saturday night.
And then we have what comes after that?
The next is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
With Russ and Milanov.
On June 23rd, yes.
That's the Columbus Symphony and the Columbus Symphony Chorus.
Yes.
Yeah. That's also one of those pieces, if you don't follow classical music, you know it.
You know it.
You've heard it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a piece that the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Symphony won the Columbus Performing Arts Prize from the Columbus Foundation. So the Columbus Foundation was very generous and giving that award to them. So that's part of it, and that's why we've got the chorus and the four guest vocalists to make it a huge night.
Yeah, right. Terrific. That will be a huge night. Mm-hmm. And then the Elton John tribute or the...
Well, we have the Beethoven V Coldplay.
Right.
Then we have Patriotic Pops with fireworks and the Harmony Project, and then we have the Elton John tribute. Then we have a Symphonic Night of Hip-Hop with Common, and then Three Dog Night.
That's right. And I'm sure you're planning next season's picnic with the
We're already thinking about it.
And the Columbus Symphony is opening in, and they're doing Aida. They're doing all kinds of great things next season. Can you give me a little rundown of some of that?
Well, that is a co-production with Opera Columbus. I'm going to look at for the date on that. It is February 2nd and 4th. So we're really excited, and we're bringing in animals from the Columbus Zoo as well.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, what's not to love? Between animals and everything else, you've got me speeches.
We'll do anything.
Kathy Carnap, thank you very, very much. Director of Marketing for CAPA, the Columbus Association of Performing Arts. Rich Accorsi, I wish people could see these tats. Hold them up. Yeah, that's it. Vice President of Programming at CAPA, thank you so much. We're going to take a break, have an author interview I'll tell you about in a moment, and in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Philip Hickman, who is the Artistic Director of Actors Theater in Columbus. He'll tell us about their free offerings coming up in Schiller Park. Don't go away. We're back. I'm Christopher Purdy. You are listening to All Sides Weekend today here on 89.7 NPR News. And in just a few moments, we'll be talking with Philip Hickman, who is the Artistic Director of Actors Theater. He'll tell us about the great offerings coming up and continuing, because they've already begun, downtown in Schiller Park. But right now, I want to present an interview I taped about an hour ago with a wonderful writer called Dan Shaun. That's spelled C-H-A-O-N, if you're reading his books and want to know how to pronounce his name, which I did. His recent novel, his latest novel is Ill Wills, which is a great read. A lot of his work is based in Ohio. Dan Shaun is on the Faculty of Creative Writing at Oberlin College. He will be at the Columbus Library, the main library downtown, this Sunday, Father's Day, for a free talk, 2 to 3 p.m. It is free. It is open to the public. If you want to hear about great reads, then you want to hear about Dan Shaun. Here he is now, a recent conversation. One of the things that I noticed about the works of yours that I've read is that very often people are either lost or they're trying to be found or they don't want to be found. And that is part of the tension that I'm getting from your work. Am I being kind of accurate here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I'm interested in about American life is the way in which we can transform ourselves and become new people. I mean, that's part of the American dream. But there's also a dark side to that. I grew up in Nebraska in a very close-knit farm family. The process of leaving that and changing my social class or, you know, moving to a city, I think was really instrumental in making me sort of think about the ways in which transformation has both benefits and debits.
You work in short story and you work in longer forms in novels. I'm curious to know, when you begin with an idea, do you know in advance if this is going to be a short piece or a longer work?
I don't usually really know. I guess part of the fun of it is discovering whether you want to stay with a character for a longer period of time, whether there's enough in that character and in that situation that you want to, you know, spend a year or more exploring it, or whether it's something that you can get in and out of, like a short story.
I know you're on the faculty at Oberlin and you're living in Ohio. A lot of your work is set in Ohio, or some of it is. What is it about Ohio you find compelling?
Well, there's so many different parts of it. I've lived down in Athens, also in Cleveland, and it feels like different countries, really. I mean, and you can, you know, sort of split the state up into all these different little duchies, I guess you'd call them, which is really interesting to me. I love Cleveland, and I love both the kind of touristy stuff here And also the stuff that we try to hide from tourists, the kind of ruined aspect of it, is really interesting to me and kind of beautiful.
Do you in your work, when you're often dealing with people who have been damaged or who have inflicted damage, do you find any kind of redemption important, or can you leave them to being kind of sorrowful characters throughout?
Well, I want to be true to the reality of the situation. I think, you know, it's a nice idea that people recover from damage completely. I don't think it happens a whole lot. I think that in some ways the things that are inflicted on us as children or as young adults carry through for our whole lives, and we struggle with them. And that struggle is interesting to me. People cope with these, you know, psychological wounds, how those play out over time.
Author Dan Shaun, his latest novel is Ill Will, which is a wonderful read, by the way, highly recommended. Dan Shaun will be speaking at the Columbus Metropolitan Library downtown, the main branch, this Sunday, Father's Day, from 2 to 3. Again, it is free and open to the public. They say you have to register online, but just tell them I sent you. Just show up. They'll make you seats, and I'll hear about that, but that's fine. We're going to take a break for just a second and come back and talk to Philip Hickman and talk about Actors Theater. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Christopher Purdy. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. It is my pleasure to welcome Philip Hickman to the program. He is the artistic director of Actors Theater. Welcome.
Well, good morning.
Actors Theater is synonymous with a bunch of things. A, excellence. B, Schiller Park, which is a gorgeous space to witness, to experience theater. And sometimes Shakespeare, not always, but sometimes.
Exactly.
You are in the midst of a production of, and we're going to have a conversation about this, Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, which is in its final weekend at Schiller Park.
That's right. We're running tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night, all at 8 o'clock. We've been running Julius Caesar for the last four weekends, and it's only this week we started getting some phone calls about Donald Trump.
I'll bet you did. Now, we are just going to mention politely that there was some controversy with the production of this play that is currently running in New York, where I think Caesar himself is dressed and depicted as the current president of the United States, and that has engendered some controversy and some loss of funding. But you told me off mic that people thought it was you, or people were wondering if this was happening at Actors Theater. It is not.
No, it is not. Though we have had several phone calls and emails with people expressing concern about us depicting something like that in Schiller Park. Of course, we're not. What we have found is that there are a number of theaters around the country who are colloquially referred to as Shakespeare in the Park, that has drawn some confusion from people.
Okay, so it is not, and you'll find that out if you go this weekend to Schiller Park.
That's right.
To hear the performances. I believe it's free. Is that right?
It is free. We, of course, are
you pass something,
we are supported by donors.
Right.
We get some funding from grants and some larger organizations, but a big part of our funding is from the audience, but we like to keep it free. We want to make sure that no matter what your economic condition is, you can come to the park and enjoy our shows.
Especially on a hot night, it's still a lovely place to see theater because there's a lot of shade. It's a very beautiful, Schiller Park is very beautiful. It's
Absolutely.
Very comfortable. You have a good sound system so people can, you can hear the actors, which sometimes is a
Absolutely.
Challenge outside. How long have you been involved? And tell me a little bit more about Actors Theater.
Now, I have been involved with the company since 2010. The company itself was founded in 1982. The first show I saw in Schiller was in 1992. And I got involved in 2010, did some acting. I've done some writing for the company. And then in 2015, I took over as artistic director.
Which means what? What do you do? What's your job?
So as the artistic director, I largely determine the vision of the company, what direction we're going in terms of how we relate to the community. I believe that theater, especially free theater in a public space, needs to be in a dialogue with the community. We have a responsibility to the community that is a little different than arts organizations that require a private space. And so
right, you are in public. Yeah.
So we need to be in a dialogue. So a lot of it is determining how do we relate through classes, how do we engage with schools, how do we engage with the shows that we're doing, and what events do we participate in throughout the city.
So the performances in Schiller Park are probably the most public aspect of your work, but they are not the only aspect of Actors Studio's work. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So when you say you have to engage in a dialogue, how does that really come about?
Well, a lot of it is... Like last year, we participated in a pilot theater program that we were doing with an assisted living residential facility. We believe that Actors Theater, we don't have any walls. We're out in a public space.
Yeah.
And so we feel like wherever there are barriers to access to classic theater, we need to see what we can do to eliminate those barriers. So if we need to go to you, we're trying to find ways to do that. We're working with the Columbus Gifted Academy with their eighth graders. They've performed on our stage the last couple of years. We're continuing that program. And tomorrow we're actually starting something we're calling Saturday Free for All, which is a free acting workshop in the park, 10 to noon every Saturday during the summer, where we have actors and teachers who will be there so that anyone, regardless of their ability to pay a class fee or something like that, will be able to come and get some engagement with theater.
Completely accessible theater. That seems to be what a mantra that I'm hearing what you're about here. Now, Julius Caesar closes this weekend, but it is the first production of the summer, so there's
that's
more
correct.
To come. Are you doing Pride and Prejudice?
We are doing Pride
tell
and Prejudice.
Tell me about that. I mean, because that's a novel, so who made the dramatic setting, the play setting, and tell me about it.
John Jory, the former artistic director of Actors Theater of Louisville, adapted this play. It's this version of Pride and Prejudice has been floating around for a few years. And we looked at it and decided that it would be perfect for the park. I'm a big fan of Jane Austen, and so I was looking specifically for some of her work to bring to the stage and looked at this and knew it was the right piece to bring.
Tell me about your acting company. Where do the actors come from?
The actors come from all over. There are a lot of Columbus residents, but we also have college kids from various places around the state who come to town for the summer, come get a job for the summer and work with the company. We have some folks who have worked with the company for 20, 25 years. We've got some people that just moved to Columbus and started working. We've got some people that commute about an hour and a half to be in a show.
Has Actors Theater ever presented new work?
We do. We do present new works. Oftentimes, those new works are adaptations of older stories, stories that are in the kind of collective conscious of people. We did a production of Robin Hood about 5 years ago that was very successful. That was a new piece. We also, last year, we did an adaptation of The Count of Monte Cristo that was called The Countess of Monte Cristo. Oh. That was a new piece as well.
When you're casting shows that people think they know, like Julius Caesar, like one of the Shakespeare plays, like something very well done, when you're doing the casting, talk about, if you will, traditional versus, shall we say, non-traditional casting. What really compels you to fit an actor with a part?
Well, I would maybe take a different spin on the term traditional and say that I think Shakespeare would have cast the person who was most compelling for the audience, the person who the audience most felt that they could engage with. So in that sense, we do engage in traditional casting. We have a public space. I want the people who come to see the show to be able to identify with people on stage, to see themselves up there. We represent the community in a lot of ways. We're not talking down to the community. We have to represent them back to themselves. That's the role of theater. And so in that sense, we want casts that reflect the community we live in. So I believe that demographically speaking, our casts should reflect our community.
But one thing that was interesting to me, we were discussing the controversial production of Julius Caesar being done in New York by the Public Theater, and I believe Mark Antony is played by a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, our Brutus is played by a woman.
Really? Talk about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Jennifer Feather Youngblood is the actor's name. She is a phenomenal actor. I've worked with her a number of times over the years, and she was the most compelling person for the part. I feel like in a world where 52% of the population is female, it seems odd that in Shakespeare's plays, only 10% of the population is female. So in updating it, not updating the text is Shakespeare's, but updating the setting to a modern setting so people can feel more of a part of it, then likewise we need to make sure that the people who are engaged in politics reflect the people who are engaged in politics now.
So Julius Caesar is closing this weekend. It's what is it? Give me just logistic dates and times.
Okay. It's Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Tonight,
at
tomorrow,
8
and yeah, at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock in Schiller Park.
In Schiller Park. And then Pride and Prejudice opens when?
Pride and Prejudice opens on Thursday.
You don't wait around, do you?
No, we do not. We do not. The stage is in transition for about 3 days and then we'll have the show up. So June 22nd is Pride and Prejudice. That'll be Thursdays through Sundays at 8 o'clock. The Emperor of the Moon will follow that opening.
What is that?
Now, The Emperor of the Moon was the smash hit comedy of 1687.
Well, I should have known that. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
It's a piece by Aphra Behn. It's been described as a mini spectacle. It's a delightful little farce about a man who's trying to control the love lives of his daughter and her friend, and he believes that there are people that live on the moon, and he's going to get the girls engaged to them.
Okay, then. All right. Aphra Behn was, I think, the first female playwright whose work was performed regularly, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's she was really the first one who was able to make a career out of it.
Out of it. And that's in the 17th century. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. What made you choose this piece?
Well, I came across this piece about 5 years ago. And my wife is a sci-fi buff. And so the idea of combining classic theater and science fiction
and
was appealing to me.
Yeah. So. What else is coming up this summer?
We're closing the season on August 10th through September 3rd. So August 10th through Labor Day weekend, we're doing Shakespeare's The Tempest.
Really?
Yep.
That's one of the most involved plays, one of the later plays, and very, mm-hmm. very...
Yeah.
That's a big read there.
It's a delightful and complex piece.
Yeah, complex is the word I'm mm-hmm. looking for, right. Which ones are you directing, and what does that entail?
So I directed Julius Caesar. So that, you know, involves the casting, editing the script, making sure that we're not having people in the park for 3.5 hours.
Because with Shakespeare, you could be there for 4 or 5
That's
hours.
Right.
So you do. I wondered, how do you know what to cut?
Oh, I don't know if you ever do know what to cut.
Yeah.
It's one of my methods is when I take a descriptor or something like that, if I run it by 4 or 5 friends and none of them understand what it means, then I'm guessing that we don't really need it.
Right, right.
So.
And so The Tempest, are you updating? How are you adapting? What are you doing with Shakespeare? Are we seeing togas? How is that working?
With Caesar, we're doing it. Set right now, it's set in 2017, in a kind of fictional Rome that may seem pretty familiar in a lot of ways. Pride and Prejudice is Pride and Prejudice. I don't know that you can move that story. The Emperor of the Moon is we're giving it kind of a steampunk feel, so it'll still be a period piece. And then The Tempest is we're actually involving a little bit more protest music and discussing a little bit more of the power politics of the play.
You giving it a 60s patina, maybe?
I wouldn't say that it's so specific as that.
Okay. The space at Schiller Park, how many people comfortably can be accommodated? So I'm just like, because I always come early, so I'm...
Oh, let's see. I think the largest audience we've had there in the last several years was about 1,200 people.
Mm.
So we've got space for you.
And you bring your own lawn chair.
Yep.
Yeah. And
one thing we're doing a little bit differently this year is that in the past, there's a bike path that if you're familiar with Schiller Park, we've used that as kind of a de facto marker for where chairs can be. But... because we've got more audience members using chairs than sitting on the ground, we've kind of moved that invisible line up a little bit. So if you bring your chair, you may be able to sit a little closer than you have been in previous years.
Now, you've been involved in the theater here in Columbus for a number of years. You are the artistic director of Actors Theater, which has a long and well-deserved high reputation. Tell me about your take on Columbus, Ohio, as a place to be working in the theater as a profession.
As a profession, it is limited. One of the things that organizations like GCAC and OAC are working on is the fact that arts funding, specifically theater funding, doesn't have the same kind of funding history as it does in cities like Indianapolis and Chicago. And so in a lot of ways, as a profession...
Profession meaning you can live off of it.
Profession meaning you can live off of it is difficult. In terms of a profession where there's good theater, we have excellent theater. We have fantastic companies here in town. I think of Mad Lab, of Available Light, Catco. These are companies that are producing excellent work, consistently excellent work, who are engaging their audiences, who are trying to keep theater relevant to the community, which means that anywhere you go, certainly as an actor, as a director, as a writer, there are venues for your work. And you're going to be working with people who are exceptionally talented. And so you don't get that everywhere. One of the things I like about Columbus is that the ego threshold is fairly low.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of collaboration, a lot of working together. Is there one theater audience in Columbus or there are several? I mean, do you share audiences or are some companies audience specific, like Catco, like Available Light, or is there a real crossover?
I think each company has a small core, but then there's a larger bubble that goes to a lot of shows at a lot of different companies. And then with Actors Theater, we have anywhere between 16 and 20,000 people a summer come down to the park. And so a lot of our audience is not part of the normal theater audience. And so they're coming more for the tradition and more because it's something to do during the summer.
It's the park. It's pretty. You can bring your wine and your picnic and things like that, which sometimes you can't do if you go indoors to see something. You know?
I can neither confirm nor deny you bringing your wine to the park.
Oh, okay. If that's fine. I won't mention that again. But, you know, you can do whatever you want as long as you keep it to yourself. But what are you in the midst of planning now for next season? Are you looking at works now? How far in advance do you have to work?
Well, we announce our season at the end of the season.
So you already know probably what you're doing next season.
No, okay. I have a few things that I've got tagged, and then I'm still considering some other pieces. This present season has a theme of power and privilege. I think it's been something that we've culturally been discussing for a while, what it means to have structures of power, what it means to engage in them, to have power, to not have power. And so each year I like to come up with an organizing principle for the season that says, here are some things that we can talk about. Now, the announcement of that season will be at a party that we have for our members. We've started a membership program last year that is a sustaining member program. It means you get reserved seats. There are T-shirts. There are special events that are members only. One of the things we're starting on Monday, every third Monday in perpetuity, as far as I know, we're doing a reading series called The Shakespeare Underground.
That
is free to members. We ask for a donation if you are not a member. But at Tato Heads Public House, they're on Parsons Avenue. But the Shakespeare Underground is designed to bring some classic plays that have not gotten as much attention maybe as they should have, and at least bring them to the public eye with a staged reading.
And let them hear it. Sometimes you have these are words written to be heard.
That's right.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure people understand they have this weekend to see Julius Caesar from the Actors Theater in Schiller Park.
Yes.
That's this weekend. And then Pride and Prejudice opens on Thursday.
Yes.
And runs until?
It opens on the 22nd and runs for 4 weekends.
That's Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Then you have the Afra Ben piece from
1687, The Emperor of the Moon. Opens on July 20th and runs through August 6th. That one is only 3 weekends. And then The Tempest opens on August 10th and runs through the end of the season.
We're having a big finish with The Tempest.
That's
terrific.
Right.
Philip Hickman, I do thank you so much for joining us today. You are the artistic director of Actors Theater. Having been a devotee myself, I can tell you that if you want a really wonderful evening in the summer to see some great theater, you can't do worse than you can't. You really have to go to Actors Theater in Schiller Park. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This has been All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. My thanks to our producer, Shyla Knott, who keeps us running, to producer Michael DeBonis. The All Sides interns are Kelly Rudolph, Kyle McKinnon, Aaron Kinkley, and Owen Doherty, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director is Mike Thompson. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you for joining us. Go to the theater.